and welcome to episode 19 of our Let's Talk Dairy podcast. I'm your host, Brian Burke, editor-in-chief of Dairy Foods Magazine. This is my second podcast as editor, and I thank you for joining this event. Today, we are going to chat with Tim Dolman, CEO of Fairlife LLC, and one of founding members of the company. Under Tim's leadership, the company has demonstrated continuous growth year over year, expanded internationally, and in 2021 reached a new sales milestone, achieving more than $1 billion in retail sales. Tim has spent more than 25 years in the dairy industry, leading companies, developing products, and leveraging technologies to strengthen the nutritional value of dairy while maintaining its natural integrity. Tim comes from a family of successful dairy farmers. Growing up in the Pacific Northwest, Tim spent time working in his family's dairies, learning how to care for the cows and operate an efficient and profitable operation. He turned his passion for dairy and nutrition into a new business venture when he co-founded the Good Cow Company in 1999 to develop and market proprietary ultra-filtered dairy products. The work at Good Cow is the cornerstone of the Fairlife business today. Thank you for joining me, Tim.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for hosting me.
Let's start where we're this Let's Talk Dairy podcast is about challenges associated with sugar reduction. So if we could first start, if you could tell us about the importance and growth of sugar production products during the past several years.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely been something that's come on, you know, very strong over the last, I'd probably say even 10 years or so, slowly but surely developing. And you see sugar, you know, throughout the diet in the 80s and the 90s, the federal government started pushing, carbohydrates as a kind of a foundation for good health and actually kind of demoted the proteins and the fats in that process. And along the way, during that time, sugar really wasn't singled out as anything bad, for instance. And so what generally happened is the nutrition kind of guidelines started to favor, you know, carbohydrates and with those carbohydrates, and when you removed kind of the fat side of it, those carbohydrates came many times with sugar because sugar is a very inexpensive ingredient, certainly has its purposes and things, makes things taste better. Typically people like sweetness. And so sugar really rose and became, quite honestly, just too much in the diet, too much in the American diet, certainly. And health problems started to arise because of it. Certainly, we see diabetes today. We have a significant portion of the population that's moved from, you know, generally good health to a higher BMI index or fat levels, quite honestly. And we've gone from what was a generally, you know, pretty healthy society to one that is not as healthy. And so people started looking around to what maybe some of those causes are, and they recognize that too many carbohydrates in the diet, and specifically the role of sugar and what it can do for people's health. And so over the last 10 years, it's really risen up in importance where folks are singling out and looking to sugar reduction as something that's important for their overall diet. And so so that's really kind of the history and why it kind of got attention, and it, quite honestly, it deserves attention because truly sugar, if you consume too much of it, is not good for the body. It kind of throws a lot of things off, you know, regulation wise, your body's got to figure out what to do with it all the time, especially if you get too much of it. Kind of throws your insulin levels up and down, which makes you kind of lose energy, gain energy, and kind of really disrupts things. So, you know, the dairy industry in particular for us, was a user of sugar at times, and in some ways, maybe too much. And we had to look at ways to do it better.
Okay, great. Involving the formulation of these products, lower sugar products, and manufacturing them, but what sort of challenges come with that? How difficult is it to do?
Yeah, no, that's great. Great question. Again, the dairy industry by nature, and again, I kind of consider ourselves in this nutrition space that leverages dairy. Dairy is a fantastic ingredient, or a starting, you know, medium for any kind of food-based item. You got great protein, you got great fat, and you do have some carbohydrates and the lactose that naturally comes with the milk. It's balanced with a high level of minerals and vitamins that that really makes it, again, it's very much a complete food. But as we look to, use dairy as a starting place and then make a product, some of the products that we make, are drinks on the go, recovery drinks, the industry looked at, yogurts and stuff of that nature. And there was sugar being used in those, many of those products, not all of them, but many of those products as a way to one, make it sweeter, make it taste better, make it, that much more attractive to consumers from a flavor perspective. Another thing that sugar kind of brings is it brings some bulking agents and some certain kind of characteristics like that too, which, give body to products so like ice cream or yogurts and stuff of that nature. So, we had to figure out ways to take it out. So you have to solve for two things. You have to solve for both that, kind of that sweetness level that comes naturally with the sugar. And you also have to, address kind of the body portion of it. So, that's what you're trying to solve for. How you go about that is important. And you're looking for alternatives. You're looking for, some natural lower carbohydrate sweeteners. So, some of the new ones that are out there, obviously people have heard of stevia, monk fruit juice, stuff of that nature. And you look at, what the industry has used and some artificial ones that have some really good kind of sweetness levels, and you can use them at very low rates if used correctly. You still also need to solve for your that solid bulking agent side of it too. The nice thing for us, what we do is we use a fair amount of protein. It's one of the key things that we're trying to deliver to consumers, and protein by nature brings a lot of that viscosity back. So it's really about finding that right balance of body and texture that you can, bring to a product and still give that correct level of sweetness that makes it, appealing to the consumer's tastes.
And no question. And protein is also great for building muscle and for immunity reasons. So that's even more reasons to have that in the product. So that's tremendous. Looking at at the trends, do you think the lower sugar products will continue to be in great demand going forward? Do you think this is a new consumer trend, or was it something that may have been, more pandemic based? Do you see this in the future being a big topic?
Yeah, no, I think it's I think it's an evolution of people's understanding of nutrition, quite honestly. We're always trying to figure things out. I mentioned earlier all the way back to the 80s, you go back to the 60s and the 70s. And again, people were trying to figure out, how do you maintain healthy hearts? How do you maintain overweightness, your natural kind of, weight side of it, your energy levels. I mean, those are all things that are really important to people. And what people are, and this is why I think this is a movement that will last, from here on out, because we kind of went through a cycle. We went through a cycle of, do you have enough food, number one, to having as much food as you want, and you could, consume as many of these things as you want. And what you recognized, when you consume too many carbohydrates and specifically too much sugar, it's not good for the body. And we see it in today's society. And people are now really working on, solutions from a dietary perspective that can help people and make them healthier. So, in addition to, helping their immunity, fight COVID and other factors and all the things that are challenging in life, a good diet is super key in that, and having your sugar in check is a super critical part of that. So, I believe this is something that's going to stick around for a long time, and there's going to be a lot of demand in this area. Again, very similar. I talked about the formulation side of it. Same thing goes for people's diets. You take sugar out, what do you put back in its place? And again, you need a good rounded diet. I think everyone's kind of shared that in the past, but you need enough protein in your diet. You need good quality protein, with good amino acid base that allows your body to recover. It's kind of the key part of a body's, mechanical side of things and working correctly. The carbohydrates and the sugar in particular is great from an energy perspective if you need the energy, but most people don't need as much energy as they consume, hence the reason why people gain weight. And then the fat's in a very key kind of element also that helps provide energy that's a little more steady burning as opposed to the sugar side of it. So people are kind of figuring out the nutritional side of it and recognizing that too much sugar is not good. And so you're always going to be having this opportunity for people who look for health. And I think that's going to be a trend that continues. These lower sugar items are going to be super key in their diet and how they make choices with their food.
Absolutely. And other than lower sugar, you mentioned, well, of course, we mentioned lower sugar, the key to this podcast, but and as well as protein. Do you think there are any other health benefits or ingredients that consumers will specifically be looking for in dairy products in the future?
Yeah, for sure. Again, I'm a huge dairy fan. You know, you'd mentioned I'd kind of been in my industry or my whole life, been in the industry, and I have, and I just love it. I'm also a huge nutrition nut. I love cycling. I still race bikes even as an old man. You know, I got my kids racing. I help coach in that space, and you know, I love you know, general health and activities and stuff of that nature also. And milk, you know, again, going back to, you know, being a very complex food that, you know, delivers fats and proteins and again, lactose, carbohydrates, some carbohydrates, minerals and vitamins. It's a great beginning of anybody's diet from a foundation perspective. It's why, you know, mammals give milk. You know, it allows life. It supports life very well. So if you look at kind of all the factors we talked about, too much sugar not being good, and agreed, you know, the industry for a while, we were putting a little too much sugar in our yogurts and our ice creams and stuff of that nature. Even flavored milks, we had too much sugar in them, quite honestly. I mean, they made it taste good, but not necessarily optimum for health. And so, you know, you're going to have, you know, kind of this evolving complex of products to go to work with. And again, we over the last 10 years at Fairlife have really focused and spent a lot of time developing this protein side of the business. And that's going to continue because, again, protein is hands down the most expensive and most complicated ingredient to go harvest in the world that humans need for their diet. So and milk has probably the single best protein there is. It's many types of proteins, quite honestly. And that balance gives you a whole mix of potential ingredients and products that you can make with it. It has one of the highest kind of absorption scores that a protein can have of any proteins that are out there. And so dairy, that protein will continue to be harvested in many different ways. So that's, you know, you ask, you know, is there something beyond protein? Well, protein's going to continue to be harvested for many different kind of health benefits to help people in different aspects of their lives and different stages of their lives. The other thing I think I will kind of predict, and I don't know if I'm predicting it because it's probably already happened or it is happening, is the role of fat again. Fat, I believe, is a very important aspect of people's diet. Again, it can be abused, but for the most part, people need fat in their diet. It helps, you know, regulate sugar levels. It helps kind of provide a low burn, kind of a steady energy for people, helps them feel full. And feeling full is a great way to prevent you from eating more, quite honestly, which is something some people struggle with. So the role of fat, and specifically dairy fat, which has kind of a unique proportion of unsaturated and saturated fats, I think is something that's going to be continued to understood as its role in people's diet, both for heart health, as well as being able to maintain kind of a natural or a healthy body weight associated with it. There's plenty of studies in that space that have been done in the past. There's plenty more that will be done. And I think fat is something that will continue to be something that is, I think, on the newer side of spectrum and newer kind of development for people and their particular role. I'll kind of call out, you know, just one last thing on that kind of fat side of it. If you look at kids and kind of the how they've evolved over the last 20, 25 years, as far as a population, you know, 25 years ago, actually, no more than that, I'm sorry, in 1980s, 45 years ago, almost in the late 70s and 80s, you know, we had, I think, around 5% of kids in America were obese, excuse me, not obese, but overweight. And like maybe a fraction of that obese. Today, we have 20% of kids who are overweight, and about 5% of those, actually, excuse me, it's even higher than that. I think it's closer to 30% are obese. And around, you know, 5% are overweight and about 5% are obese. That's a pretty shocking change in someone's society's trajectory as far as health goes. And one of the biggest things that changed, quite honestly, is we took fat away from the kids in their school lunch program. And so specifically in the milk, we went from serving whole milk every day to kids to serving skim milk only. Or a flavor or 1%, a very low fat. And I think it's going to be an important thing for us as we look at what dairy can provide is how that fat can have a very integral role in people's health, and specifically these kids that are still developing and growing and need a steady source of, again, steady energy for them, not just a bunch of sugar in their diet that, again, messes up things like their insulin levels and stuff of that nature. So there's a fair amount, I think, of discovery that's still going to be done. Protein, people are discovering it. They know lower sugar is better, and that's what's kind of hot right now. But I think there's still going to be a huge opportunity for the dairy industry to focus on what fat can do for people in their diet.
Wow, that's really interesting, and definitely a change in thought process from where I was growing up, as you mentioned.
Yep.
So that's going to be really interesting to see go forward. So thank you for all this great information, Tim. Just before we conclude, is there anything else you'd like to add before we get going?
No, I just say, the industry itself is obviously a big industry, because we all start with milk, right? How do you take what nature has given us and make it better and make it applicable for people's lives and their different stages and different, conditional needs that they have? And I think it's a very bright future for what people can do with dairy to be able to meet those needs.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for the great information. And I appreciate everyone listening today. And thank you for joining us today, Tim, and for discussing addressing challenges associated in sugar reduction in the dairy industry. For more about sugar reduction trends, be sure to check out our webinar set to take place on September 20th about the topic. And be sure to check back for the latest chapter of Dairy Industry's Let's Talk Dairy podcast. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Brian.